Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. It is Sunday, October 18th. We're very happy to be with you. I'm Liz Dolan. I'm here in Santa Monica, California with three of my sisters. Leanne is off doing her thing in her life. She earned it. But Monica Dolan, you're in Portland, Oregon. We've missed you the past couple of weeks.
I know. I haven't been on, but I have a full report on what I've been doing.
Excellent. Inquiring minds want to know, where is Monica Dolan? Sheila Dolan, you're in South Pasadena. What's going on there?
Well, as you know, Liz, there's a light drizzle in Southern California, which is, it's jugging weather. That's all I'm going to say.
The light drizzle is such a relief. It has been so hot and so dry and basically on fire in California for so many months that when Ferris and I walked outside today and it was wet, even Ferris was happy. And he's a Southern California dog who's just not used to this thing called rain. And Julie Dolan, you're in Dallas, Texas. How is everything there?
Well, I'll have to say I'm a little bit jealous of my 8-year-old granddaughter because she got to go to the Taylor Swift concert at Cowboys Stadium last night. And
oh my
I
God.
Didn't get to go.
Wow. An 8-year-old taking in Taylor Swift. That could be the highlight of her life. Her life may never get any better than that.
I know. In Cowboys Stadium, that giant stadium. So I haven't heard all about it. She told me before the concert, she said, Nana, I'm going to try to get you an autograph.
Oh, okay.
That's sweet.
That's good. So. That is sweet. Well, we have a lot coming up in today's show. Of course, we have some winners from our You're the Best contest. Julie's going to give you the update on #SatSistersYTB. And Julie, you have some kind of a work story about whether bosses are necessary at all?
We don't need them anymore, Liz. They're gone. There's a whole new system of work. And I want to ask you working girls whether you think it's a good idea.
Okay. All right. Monica, your report is from the Bend Film Festival, correct?
Yes. I was at the film festival last weekend. Saw a lot of movies. And it was just really fun. I'll tell you all about it.
All right. I need some film recommendations because it's just been too long since I've actually gone to the movies. So that's my plan for after I finish editing today's show. Sheila, we had a little gig together this week that we're going to talk about, right?
We did, for the first time on stage in a long time, Liz. And I think we nailed it.
There were some rocky transitions, but in general, the overall impact, I think was good. But you have a new job that we haven't actually talked about on the show yet. So we're going to ask you about it. Okay.
Fantastic.
And then I also have my favorite headline of the week. I'm not going to spoil it now. We'll save it for the end of the show. But just occasionally you see these headlines that make you smile. And this was one of mine. This weekend, I've also been brushing up on Ebola a little bit, which is why I need an entertaining movie. Because I'm
Ebola, Liz?
Ebola, Julie. Because this week, midweek, I'm moderating a panel. We have a new National Geographic Channel show called Breakthrough that is coming out next month. It comes out in November. And it's 6 different episodes about different scientific breakthroughs. One is on aging. One is on water. One is on pandemics. And so I have to be able to interview each of the scientists about their specific areas of expertise and what their breakthrough was in that area. So I feel like water, longevity, I can kind of handle that stuff. But Ebola, you kind of have to have some facts. You know, just the whole general area of pandemics is requiring a little bit of study on my part. So, you know, but I'll be good. I'll have enough. You don't have to know the answers. You just have to ask the questions, right? So I think I can manage that by Wednesday. But first, Julie, who were this week's winners in our #SatSistersYou'reTheBest contest?
Well, Liz, you know, this has been a very fun contest. We're doing it to celebrate our new book coming out, You're the Best, A Celebration of Friendship. And one of the unintended consequences of this little contest where we asked you to either on our Facebook group page or at #SatSistersYTB. Put up pictures of your satellite sisters. Is, you know, I think the satellite sisterhood is getting to see what we look like, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, they know what we look like, but now we know what they look like, you know, and they know what they look like. So I think that's a real benefit. And thank you so much for all your pictures. We have one more week. It is not too late to get in on the fun. So please bring it on home, as we say, as the Dolan sisters say, and put up a picture of your satellite sisters, either on our Facebook group or at #SatSistersYTB. But this week's winner on our Facebook group is Kim Hardy Erskine. I don't know if you saw this picture, but it was adorable. It was a composite picture of that her mother and her friend put the two babies in the crib together, and then they've grown up to be best friends. So,
nice.
Best friend picture. Adorable, wonderful, sweet. So congratulations, Kim Hardy Erskine. Second, on our Instagram account, this week's random winner is Lucy Sun, it's a great picture. I believe they're all healthcare professionals because the comment was they are making a difference advocating for people in pain. Oh. And the sound of that, and they look like a very warm and caring group of people. So thank you very much, Lucy Sun and Kim Hardy Erskine and everyone else who put their pictures up. But come on, get in on it. This is one more week.
So that's great. So those of you who are winners, you just email us at info@satellitesisters.com and send us your mailing address, your contact info, so that we know where to send your book. And even after the contest is over, you just want to keep using the #SatSistersYTB on anything you want us to see about you and your friends and why they're the best. That's really what we want to know. Everybody feels like their friends are the best. So, #SatSistersYTB is the way to go with that. Okay. Speaking of which, Sheila.
Oh, Liz.
We had kind of a shakedown cruise this week, did we not?
We did. We did, Liz. This is Sheila. Leanne, Liz, and I basically, I think, kicked off this book tour in a very, very special way this week, which was we spoke at the Huntington Library, which is a beautiful Huntington Library and Gardens right here in Pasadena. We gave a Satellite Sisters speech, which, of course, Leanne prepared for us and made copies and put in pretty file folders for us the day of. So this was a luncheon for women in business in Pasadena. And it started, at 11 o'clock?
Mm-hmm. That's when it was hosted by Pasadena Magazine.
Yes.
That's important. And Leanne is a columnist for Pasadena Magazine and does a lot of work with them at these events. So yeah, we needed to be there at 11 just to get, you know, set up, get
right.
ready.
And I was told to be there by 10:45. Of course, I was early, but when I got there, Liz and Leanne were even earlier than I was. I couldn't make it earlier. And what I liked about this event, Monica, was that it was 10 minutes from my house.
Oh.
That's a good event. But it's such a beautiful place, the Huntington Library and Gardens, that the parking was out of control. Every parking spot was taken at 11 a.m. So it was a long walk, but a short cart ride. So the room was filled, absolutely packed with women in business. Every profession from lawyers to doctors to real estate. And I even saw some of my old friends there. Parents showed up. So it was a great group. Everyone got a fantastic swag bag. Pasadena Magazine really put on a beautiful luncheon. And I think the speech went really well. We divvied up the work as we always did. The speech theme was finding your voice. And we each gave a little shtick, right, Liz?
Yeah, I'm not sure it was shtick, you know, advice, observations about our life. It was fun. Yeah, it was great. And finding your voice was the theme, because it's all kinds of women in business who just, you know, want to be inspired to like speak up for themselves more in the business environment, whatever your work environment is. How do you be heard? So we had an opportunity to talk about, we have three such very different professional experiences, Lee and Sheila and I, that we could come at it from a lot of different perspectives.
Oh, and the women were really inspired. So, and then what, remarkably, I mean, our publisher was there, Prospect Park Books. We brought lots of copies of You're the Best. We bought 100 copies just in case. Well, guess how many books we sold? 96.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, we sold all these books. Liam's son, Colin, was in charge of of the square, charging people and giving them receipts. So he was doing our selling. And the women bought books. And it was just, it's like it always is as a Satellite Sisters event. Everybody comes up and tells you about their Satellite Sisters, their work experiences. And it's just a lot of sharing and caring. It was great.
Yeah, it was really great. And I want to specify that Colin was there as our sales agent because he had the day off from school.
Oh, yes.
Leanne would not want to leave you with the impression that she took her son out of school to come operate the credit card square.
Right.
He had the day off.
The only one in the family that cooked. Right. That's good.
And then we left after everyone left, but still on the table there, because it's a woman's event, there were swag bags. I mean, women love swag bags, but there were free samples from a new shop in Pasadena, which is all the rave. It's called Nothing Bundt Cakes. Nothing.
Oh, Nothing Alice. Yeah, they're tasty.
Yeah, it's a chain. Yeah.
It's a chain. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, I did not know that. I enjoyed the pumpkin spice bun on the way home, and a good time was had by all. So a very successful event.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really, really fun. And it was good to like get up there together again. We haven't done that in a while, and we have a few things coming up. So everybody knows, if you go to the events page at Satellite Sisters, you'll see that our Brooklyn appearance is Friday, October 30th. Then we're at Vroman's in Pasadena on Sunday, November 8th. Then we're, Sheila and I are in St. Paul, Minnesota at Subtext Books on Saturday, November 14th. Then Julie, you and Leanne you're doing Dallas, right?
Yeah, Leanne's coming to Dallas in early December. We're going to be at Barnes & Noble on December 3rd at noontime. And Vera will be there as well, my daughter-in-law Vera. So it's going to be a very fun event.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. To get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit Framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's Framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer, plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free-for-a-year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
We're adding a lot of dates, so anyway, so we don't have to keep telling you on the podcast, you can just always go to satellitesisters.com and then click on events. All right, well, speaking of events, there was one other big event this week, a lot of people on a stage together, the Democratic debate. The Democratic debate. And we don't need to discuss that per se. I just want to ask you guys, did anyone see the Saturday Night Live opening last night of the Democratic debate? Because there was the most perfect piece of casting, comedy casting, that I've seen in a while.
I did not see it, Liz.
Okay. Well, you will enjoy, Sheila, because and you can just go watch this on YouTube or whatever, but they were introducing the various candidates, and they had Alec Baldwin come out and play Jim Webb, and he was really good. But then the kicker was when Bernie Sanders was played by Larry David.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect.
Perfect.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Oh, it was so funny, Julie, because, you know, watching the debate the other night, I was like, you know, his voice and just everything about him reminds me of someone. I just can't put my finger on who it is. And then when Larry David came out last night, I was like, that's who it is.
He's sort of a curmudgeon. Yes. So I can see that would be ideal casting. Okay. Yeah. I'm in this. I'm going to watch that YouTube video.
Yes. And he's just extremely passionate about his opinions. And so you enjoy that about Bernie, and you definitely enjoy that about Larry David. So that would be, no matter where you are on the political spectrum, I think you'd get a kick out of rewatching last night's opening of Saturday Night Live. All right, so moving on. Monica, our film reviewer, film goer, festival attendee. The Bend Film Festival sounds like it's a small thing, but it's actually quite an event.
Yeah, it is quite an event. This is Entertaining Monica this weekend. Entertaining Monica. So last weekend was the Bend Film Festival, and it's the 12th year of the festival, and it's just a really fun weekend to be in Bend. So it starts on Thursday night as the opening night film, and there's movies Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think they screened something like 70 films this year. And of course it was spectacular weather, just breathtaking, like blue sky, sunny, 70, but all the leaves have changed. So it was a little tough to go inside for the movies.
Yeah.
But I spaced them out, so I had time to go for walks in the morning and be outside. Now, in the past, you can buy a full film pass, but they're expensive. When I did the math, I figured out that you'd really have to see 13 different movies mm-hmm. in order to make the pass pay for itself. So I just bought individual tickets ahead of time. So I saw 8 films over the course of the weekend, and it was so much fun. I only picked movies that I could walk to.
That was your filter? It wasn't, it's not like you studied the advanced reviews or looked at the cast or who the director was. It was just you drew a circle around the bungalow.
And that exactly. It was timing and walkability. You know, I didn't want to get in a car at all. And it was super fun just to walk to the movies and then walk home for lunch and go see another movie at night and walk home. So the opening night film was great. That was my favorite film that I saw. And it was a documentary called Breaking a Monster. Now, I don't know if you guys have heard of that Brooklyn band, that those young kids from Brooklyn who play heavy metal.
No.
Have you heard of that group?
No. I have not, Monica. I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated already.
They're called Unlocking the Truth. And they're like 8, 9, and 10, these 3 kids from Brooklyn, and they play heavy metal, like bass guitar and drums. And their parents used to take them to Times Square on the weekends, and they would play, and they became this huge YouTube sensation. And so it was a documentary following them their first year from going to playing in Times Square to getting an agent. And they signed a deal with Sony Records, and they played at Coachella. They played at like the Metal Festival in Montreal. Good movie, really good movie. I loved it. Breaking a Monster.
Okay.
That is fascinating. And they're 8, 9, and 10 years old?
Well, maybe they're 10, 11, and 12. Maybe they're a little bit older, but of course they're absolutely adorable.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds great. Okay.
Very charismatic kids, very charismatic parents. It was a good movie. It was loud, though. it was loud. Heavy metal's loud. So that was good. And what's fun about the festival is, you know, like any film festival, they invite the directors, the producers, the actors. So there's usually always all the films I saw, there's a Q&A afterwards with the people that have worked on the film. And it's just fun to hear the story about how they created the film. And I purposely went to, I enjoy short films. So I went to 2 sets of shorts. And they had the Q&A afterwards. And it's all these young people, movie directors, and for a lot of them, it was their thesis film.
Yes.
School. So, yes. Sheila, I just want to say NYU was represented, NYU Asia was represented, Tish was there. So that was
super yes. fun.
Sheila, that's finishing. Where your daughter is at film school, right?
Yes, and she's finishing her thesis. So this is her dream to get in one of these festivals. Yep.
She has to come to Bend Film next year.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Done.
If Ruthie's there, I would be more inclined to go to some of the after parties with the young filmmakers, which I did not go to this year. I just basically saw the movies and went home. So some other interesting movies I saw, one was called Happy 40th. It sounds like it's heavy. It was about a woman who's in a wheelchair from a car accident. She's been a recluse, however you want to say it. And her friends come to visit her, her college friends, for her 40th birthday. That was pretty dark. Mm-hmm. But the highlight of that film was that it was a woman director. She was also an actress in the film. She was there. So it was just, it was very fun. Now, I want to say, Liz, I think this is something that you can work on. They seem to have a little marketing problem with the Bend Film Festival, because the average ticket buyer, the average moviegoer for the festival, average age is about 55, mm-hmm. Which is my age.
Right. Because who else has got the time? Okay. Yeah.
Those people have the time and those people have the money. But the people that are making the movies are all 30-something. Yeah, they're interesting and they're doing things that are very creative. And there was hardly anyone at any of the movies I saw under the age of 40.
Really?
Oh. So I think they need to do something to attract more young people.
Yeah.
I mean, God knows every brew pub in Bend is filled every night with 20 and 30 somethings. I don't understand why they didn't come to any of these movies, but
that's true. That's true. Okay, so maybe, I will jot that down and think about that.
Maybe you have nothing to do, Liz. That would be good. You have a lot of free time.
But Monica and I both feel very close to the Bend Film Festival because in year one, when it was really just like a complete pie in the sky idea, they called us and asked us to MC the awards ceremony at the end of the first year of the festival. And we did that for several years in a row, right, Monica? And that was super fun.
Super fun, super fun. And the festival, I think it was a little bit bigger then. They've kind of scaled back, but it's still a really great, lively weekend, really fun weekend to go to Bend. Loved it.
I would say that for any film festivals. I just think they're really fun because I love seeing a movie and then hearing the creators talk about it. I think it's just fascinating to know how they did it, why they did it, you know, what their thought process was. So even if you have a small film festival in your town, it's worth checking out because you see some things you're not otherwise going to see and you really get to hear from the creators, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
So
okay,
I had,
Monica.
It's interesting that you raise movies because I worked all day yesterday and obviously doing this work this morning, and then I'll edit and post the show. But because it's raining lightly, I'm thinking, okay, I got to bust a move this afternoon and go to the movies. But there are a lot of good movies out there now. So I need people to help me filter. Like, if you only had time to go to one movie this afternoon, would you go see The Martian?
No.
Or would you... Or would you go see the Steve Jobs movie? You know how much I love Aaron Sorkin. So I'm really torn. Martian, Steve Jobs. Let's go around the horn on this. Julie, Martian or Steve Jobs?
Okay, I'm Steve Jobs. I saw The Martian. If you liked the very first TV show Star Trek in the first year, you know, when it was all like just scientific episodes, then you'd like The Martian. It's long. It's a little bit boring. I mean, I just like by it, it sort of charts this guy who gets stuck on Mars. I'm not giving anything away. But he's like in by, you know, it's like Sol 450. I was like, come on, just get off that planet. You know, really?
Okay.
It's a little underwhelming is my review. So I haven't seen the Steve Jobs movie. I know you love Steve Jobs. Uh-huh. I think go see that.
Yep. Okay. Sheila, The Martian or Steve Jobs? Which way do I go?
Steve Jobs. Oh, definitely, Liz.
Easy. Wow, I'm surprised you guys are down on The Martian. I must work with a lot of like sci-fi freaks. Everyone loved it. Monica, Steve Jobs or The Martian?
I think you should see The Martian, even though I'm never going to see it. I think it would be more entertaining than the Steve Jobs. You've seen the other Steve Jobs movie, haven't you?
You read
the book.
Yeah, yeah.
What's going to be new? It's going to be heavy.
Yeah, but it's not really Steve Jobs. It's really Aaron Sorkin. You know, it's like... It's like Mark Zuckerberg didn't really say anything that they said he said in The Social Network. It's just listening to Aaron Sorkin write dialogue for people. So that's what's interesting to me. It's sort of a touch of The West Wing. Maybe that's it. Maybe it just all brings me back to how much I miss The West Wing.
If you want to see something that's pure schmaltz, I saw The Intern.
Oh, did you like that?
It had some good moments in it. Robert De Niro's in it. He's absolutely adorable. He's just so sweet in that movie. He's so adorable. And it made Brooklyn look great if you were a .com millionaire. That's where you would want to move. So it was a little schmaltzy.
All right.
I think that's the kind of movie you're going to see on an airplane.
You're going to see it on an airplane. It's going to be fine on the airplane.
I think you're right. Okay, so that was helpful.
Can I put in a plug for a new movie, which no one's seen yet, I don't think? A Brilliant Young Mind.
A brilliant that, young mind.
With Sally Hawkins. And that is an incredible movie that I just saw.
Oh, okay.
And there's an actor in the movie. His name is Rafe, but it's not spelled like Ralph, like Rafe Fiennes.
Yeah.
This guy's name is actually R-A-P-H. It's Rafe. And he's incredibly handsome. But it's a story about a boy with autism, and it's brilliantly written and directed. It's called The Brilliant Young Mind.
Okay. All right. Well, as long as we're recommending movies, I think we all need to get on the bandwagon for next weekend to go see Suffragette. Okay, Satellite Sisters?
All right.
This is the new movie about the suffrage movement starring Carey Mulligan and Meryl Streep and Helena Bonham Carter. And, you know, again, it's important to go see these movies on opening weekends because that's how we prove to the filmmakers that women will go see these movies. So if you have time next weekend, I've seen them, you know, I've seen Meryl Streep do like 10 interviews about this movie already. And it just, you know, it's historical, obviously. It looks really interesting. So put Suffragette on your list and let's see if we can have a Satellite Sisters turnout for Suffragette. And then
it sounds like the ideal movie to go to with your Satellite Sisters.
Exactly, Julie.
Like,
exactly.
I'm never going to be able to talk my husband to see it.
Okay, that's all right. You can dig up some Satellite Sisters there in Dallas.
Yes,
and go see Suffragette. How come you go to his movies, but he won't go to your movies? Is that just a fact of life?
No, he goes to some of my movies. But I curate the list, Liz.
Okay.
I have a very strong track record. We've developed trust. Because he never used to go to the movies with me, but we worked on it. It's as a couple, we've grown in this area that we can now go to the movies together. Okay.
Well, there are just so many Matt Damon movies, really. So the list is long.
Yeah, that's where you and your husband come together, over Matt Damon, huh? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, I wanted to sort of switch topics. It was a big story in the Dallas papers here. You girls are all working girls, and I wanted to get your thoughts on what is supposed to be the biggest trend in the workplace now. And it's called holacracy. Have you heard of this? That's H-O-L-A-C-R-A-C-Y, holacracy.
I've not heard of this.
This is a new system of management that has been adopted by Zappos, the company Zappos, you know, that brings you all those wonderful shoes. And they have put it in place. And as of this past spring, they abolished all the managers, okay? They have eliminated all job titles. And they have, as an organizational mission, they have denounced hierarchy. So in this holacracy system, it's a system of self-government. So, or governance. You get to govern yourself in the workplace, Monica. So that means that...
Yes! That sounds excellent.
Employee empowerment, and that employees are expected to join various democratic assemblies or what they're calling circles. Okay, these aren't work teams, they're not divisions, they're not departments, they're just circles that come together to do a project or to do some work. And there may be a lead link in that circle, a person playing that role, but that's not a permanent position. And you get to propose your own job descriptions. You get to ratify the roles of others. So you get to, Liz, you would get to tell, well, you probably do that now anyway. Okay, maybe Monica. Monica, you get to tell your coworkers, like, yes, that's good. You work on those studies and I'll do this. And then you'd get to decide as a group what projects you want to do and not do. How about that?
Well, don't you just have to like put the shoes in the box and ship them? I mean, there are some fundamental things that everybody has to do, right?
Well, they have to make decisions. Stiletto, wedge. I mean, there are lots of shoes out there. I mean, you know, I think it sounds really interesting. I don't know how it would really work, but I think it's a great idea.
I think it's very promising, Julie. However, it brings me back to my sophomore year in high school when The high school we went with they were experimenting with alternative ways of teaching and learning. And my sophomore year in high school, the alternative way of learning geometry was that it was completely self-guided, that you just sort of worked your way through this package of materials at your own speed, and you kind of checked in when you got to the end of every set of things. But you were pretty much teaching yourself geometry.
And how did that work out for you, Liz?
Let me just say, like, I learned nothing. I remember nothing. Like, I wouldn't know a hypotenuse from my elbow if my life depended on it.
Okay, can I weigh in? Because I did independent geometry too at that high school, Liz.
And did you learn anything?
That was the only math class I passed. I loved geometry.
See, I guess.
And that's the only subject in math I know a lot about. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know other things. I mean, I don't want to say that I don't know anything.
Because you teach math now.
Because I teach math. But geometry was one of my first loves because it was independent.
Okay.
Oh, so interesting.
Okay. Goes to show that people have different learning styles. And I think people have different working styles, too. So I'm all for experimenting in the workplace. I'm just skeptical that one thing never works for everybody. You know what I mean, Joel?
Okay, I think that's a good point. Monica, do you think this would work at your workplace where you just have employees gathering and assembling in these circles and deciding what they're going to work on and what they're not going to work on?
No.
No?
It's going to work. You know, I think that there's always going to emerge a leader. You know, if the work doesn't get done and like timelines aren't met, and people aren't doing things, someone's going to have to take charge of the group. So I think in these circles, you're going to have someone who's going to be the responsible adult who's going to take charge of things and start assigning tasks to other people. And then there's going to be resentment, which is the way our office works now.
I mean,
I wish people would jump in there and be willing to do more work. But I think it would take a very specific group of people, a certain type of office, certain type of work in order to make that workflow work.
Well, this is where corporate culture makes all the difference. And from everything you read about the Zappos corporate culture, they can support something like this because they hire people who will thrive in that kind of environment.
Yeah.
It's interesting that when they put this in place, 14% of the Zappos employees decided to take an early buyout package rather than to plunge into holacracy, that they didn't want to be involved with that or they didn't feel like they could be successful in that.
Oh.
I think because people don't want to work that hard. If you have to self-govern, it's harder work. You don't have anyone telling you what to do, and you can't channel surf, you know, during the day.
No one to blame.
You have to come out from your cubicle and really talk about the work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a lot harder.
Well, that's interesting, Sheila, because just this year, you've gone from a traditional work environment. You were a classroom teacher for many, many years, and now you've busted out and you've launched your own new business and you're self-employed. You have to come out of your cubicle and self-manage.
I do. I have a holacracy, and I am the whole company. I am the whole workforce, and I am the whole boss. So, yeah, I had a great run as a teacher. I taught for 30 years. It's a long time, and I had a really, really great career. I loved teaching. And I still do, and I still get to do teaching. So what I did in the last couple of years, I started after school tutoring a lot of students and working one-on-one with them, which is very different experience than being in front of the classroom, extremely rewarding. And so when I got the last couple of years, I'm at that weird age where I'm too young to retire,
but too tired too tired to go on. Do you know what I mean?
That's the age I'm at now.
Yes.
Too tired to go on, but too young to retire.
I know, Monica. I know.
I'm in this window.
You're in the window. It's very hard to every year going back and setting up a classroom is just an incredibly hard task. And then going through the year. So the tutoring started taking off. And what I did was I just did a lot of soul searching, a lot of praying, and I decided that was my last year of teaching. I am going to open a tutoring business. So the boutique tutor is my baby. Mm. And what I do now is I start my workday after 3 p.m., which is a great time to start working. If I do say so myself. And I have about 12 kids that I work with privately. And I set it up so they're all within 10 minutes drive of each other. And I go to their house and I design an individualized program for them in whatever subject they need help in. And I'm tutoring. The boutique tutor is tutoring. And I'm having a great time. I love it.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. But it is hard to organize yourself. But I have all those hours in the day to do that, which helps.
Yeah, yeah. But like helps. Monica only went to the movies that she could walk to. Did you just draw a circle around your home and say you're only taking students there?
Well, you know what, Liz? With traffic in L.A., it's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's not worth it to say, and it's very tight because the parents need you between 3:30 and maybe the latest is 8 because kids eat dinner with their families. So you have to squeeze yourself in there, Liz, between 3:30 and 7. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what I've done. And I've been lucky enough to have people who are all within a 10-minute drive. Some days it gets a little tight. I mean, I'm eating in the car still, which I've done my whole life in California, eating in the car because I need to have a little snack at 6 o'clock before I go to work at 7. So it's just the meal planning is very different. But here's the thing. I get to have meals. Mm-hmm. So I've enjoyed having breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's all happening with my new job.
That's quite a lot of business insight there, Sheila.
There's just a lot of dishes being done at home. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Okay, well, you know, self-guided. What's the word, Julie? Holacracy?
Holacracy, Liz. Yes.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. Do I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon neutral custom beauty brand. So pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
So yeah. Sheila is now a holacracy of one.
Okay. Yes.
All right. What else is going on? You had some spa
news. You were going to tell us about, you did some.
Sheila's flu shot, right.
Okay. No, so I think Sheila was going to talk first about her flu shot.
Okay, here's the thing. Now, I still work with kids, so I still need my flu shot. People need flu shots. This is flu shot time, so get your flu shot. My health insurance, Healthcare Partners, was offering free flu shots, drive-through flu shots yesterday on Saturday. And all week I've been reminding myself, flu shot, free flu shot, 2 p.m. is the closing time. So between 11 and 2, you could literally drive up in your car and get your flu shot. Well, of course I forgot. I forgot until I went for a swim, and I basically was wearing like yoga pants. I had on a air quotes sports bra, which was not really suitable for sports or for a bra. It was just it was a layer in between my skin and my hoodie. Okay, so I didn't have a lot of, and my hair was wet. And then I saw all the cars and the tents and the Healthcare Partners, and I sort of like, I couldn't get in the parking lot to get the free flu shot. So I had to park around the corner and walk to the drive-up flu shot.
Sheila, can I ask, when they say drive, it was a drive-up window?
They leaned
out the window and injected you?
Yes. Yes, Monica.
Is that safe, Monica? You're a nurse.
Yeah. That's just so California. I can't get over it. That's so California.
It's Cali. And when I walked up, I was sweating in my sweat in my hoodie. they're all, apparently it was lunchtime and they were all being served like giant Subway sandwiches and chips and Sprite. So I was like, hello, I'm here for the flu shot. I'm a walk-in. I'm a walk-up. Could someone help me? So at that point, I had to get my flu shot. So I had to remove my hoodie and just, I had to take the hoodie and basically cover up the front of my body. And the guy who gave me my flu shot decided he was, I don't know, Dane Cook. I don't think you should be joking with an older woman while you're giving a flu shot. So the first thing he asked me is, are you allergic to eggs? I go, no.
That's not a joke. That's a question.
They always ask that.
No, wait till you hear the follow-up. No,
oh,
no.
There's a punchline.
Yeah. He goes, so you're going to go get an omelet after this?
Oh.
And I was like, buddy, the next joke out of your mouth, he goes, is this your first time getting a flu shot? I said, no, it's not. No, look at my face. I've had a flu shot for many years. He said, well, it doesn't hurt me. It's not going to hurt me. And at that point, Monica, he said, take a deep breath, which I had never done in a flu shot. And he stabbed me. He stabbed me with that needle. I mean, this kid was, I was like, okay, Henny Youngman, easy on the needle. All right.
Hey, Cook.
Back off. And it hurt me. And I literally like took my arm and went, ow. And I'm like trying to grab my hoodie so my hoodie doesn't fall off and my sports bra is exposed. And I was like limping away from the drive up flu shot with a sports bra and a hoodie. And just like so dismayed by the whole experience.
I would be too. Mine didn't hurt at all.
I know they're not supposed to hurt.
No, I had a nursing student give me mine. It didn't hurt at all. I told her she did an excellent job. I mean, it hurt like heck for 2 days afterwards. Your arm is sore, but getting it, she didn't say take a deep breath.
Yeah, that was
I've had nurses say that to me when I got the flu shot. So.
Oh, really?
I think maybe it was the leaning out the window and the jabbing, Sheila. Maybe, maybe it was the angle of your shot, you know?
Yeah, it was just, they were having their Subway sandwiches. I mean, it was a timing thing, I think, when I walked up at that moment. But hey, I have my flu shot.
Okay. Yep. That's a good reminder. I haven't done mine yet. I should do that.
Okay, sisters, I have a story for you. We have these here in Dallas, but I guess they're also going on in Portland, Oregon. And I have no doubt they're going on in LA. And they're called float spas. Do you have these places where these are, what's going on in these spas apparently is they are like, they're floating tanks. And you go in and you lie in these tanks of water. And it's this sort of this sensory deprivation that is very relaxing. And it's supposed to have very beneficial, you know, it's supposed to be very positive, that it relieves depression, anxiety, addiction, maybe jet lag. Liz, I thought of you. Maybe you need a float tank, muscle tension, or back pain. Do you
really?
Have
any? And you just lay in the dark, floating in the water.
Yes.
Floating in the water. They are tanks full of water, and then they throw in a lot of Epsom salt so that you're really floating in the water. And that, depending on where you are in the country, they cost between $30 an hour to $100 an hour. So no doubt in LA, it's $100 an hour. But
Monica,
you know,
have you ever tried this?
There's no chance I'm going to try this. They had one in Bend, float spa. It closed after about 2 months. It was only open for about 2 months. I heard, and they have them in Portland, and I'm sure there are some people that enjoy them and find them relaxing. But I heard that, you know, all the lights are turned off. There's no sound. And they close the cover over the tank.
Oh, yeah.
So that immediately, I mean, I can't even stand going in a sauna more than 2 minutes in a sauna that has a window so I can look out of it. So it's not for me. But mm-hmm. They are very popular here. We do have quite a few float spas.
Yeah, large coffins is how some people describe
it. Oh, no, that sounds horrible to me.
And it's supposed to be, other people have complained that, the water, they're worried about the quality of the water, and how clean is the water, because people get in it and I don't know how often they change it. Just the general.
That sounds really gross.
but they're supposed to be popular, and there's supposed to be sort of a resurgence of these float places. I mean, I guess it used to be popular. Yoko Ono did this for a long time. Robin Williams liked it. But it's now they're growing. That this chain of float spas or spas where you get to float around, whatever they're called in your neighborhood, are coming on strong. But I don't see any takers in this group.
Julie, I think you should try it. I think one of us has to try it, and you brought this news to us. So, in our holacracy, we are voting for you to go try the float spa. How's that? Because there's no way Leon would do it; she's too claustrophobic. Sheila's out.
I float every day in an outdoor pool, so I'm already floating. I don't need a covered lid. That's right, Monica.
Okay, you're ratifying my role.
Yes,
okay.
We are. We're ratifying your role.
I'll investigate. That's my only promise to you. I'll walk in this spa and see what's going on in there. Okay.
Okay. Well, if you want something else, something much easier to relieve your depression, how about this, my favorite headline in the news this week. It was in the paper yesterday. Headline reads, "Kangaroo bounces away from Staten Island home." Did anyone see this story in the New York Times?
Oh my God.
And I see now it's been picked up nationally, and there's a picture of the kangaroo like bouncing through the streets of Staten Island. Apparently this kangaroo busted out of a backyard, and the kangaroo's name, this is another really good part of the story, is Buster. So I appreciate that. So there was a guy who was working in his auto repair shop, and he noticed what's described as a tawny animal crouching nearby. And so he saw this tawny animal, and he said at first it looked like a deer. So he started to wander close to it, and then all of a sudden the animal reared up on its hind legs and started hopping around in a parking lot near Victory Boulevard on Staten Island. And that's when he realized it was a kangaroo. And he said it was running around like crazy. We didn't want it to get hit by a car. Imagine you're driving through Staten Island and the kangaroo comes bouncing by. So the police were summoned, and Detective Sophia Mason said that officers arrived at the scene at 8:36 a.m. and that Buster was, quote, taken into custody without incident after about 10 to 15 minutes. So apparently Buster escaped from a fenced-in yard in the neighborhood. I thought, oh, well, how do you fence in a kangaroo, right? You would just jump right over the fence. But no, Buster did not jump over the fence. Someone left the gate unlocked. But unfortunately, this is there's a series of animals that have escaped from this particular yard.
Okay, is that even legal to have a kangaroo?
It is not, Sheila. Well, actually, you can explain this to me because you're a teacher. It is not legal to have, in any of the five boroughs, you are not allowed to have a marsupial. So I know a kangaroo is a marsupial, but what else is a marsupial? I always think of marsupials as being like large rats or, I don't know.
Marsupials are animals that carry their babies in pouches.
Okay. All right.
I'm pretty sure.
How many more of them are there besides kangaroos?
I think maybe wallabies.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are a few of them. I'll research that, Liz.
Okay. Get back to me with your findings.
I'll get back to you with my findings. It's been a while since I taught animals. Okay. I haven't taught animals yet this year. So I'll get back to you.
Well, this yard that Buster escaped from, the guy who owns the house, his last name is Sharipa. And he does have a pony named Casper that has escaped three times. To me, a pony is not a wild animal. But then one day, not too long ago, also a zebra wandered out of his backyard.
Wow.
So you're living in New York City, and your next door neighbor has kangaroos and zebras and and ponies in the backyard. How can you not love that? I just think that there's... So anyway.
Okay, Liz, I got it. Marsupials, I was right. They carry their young in a pouch. Kangaroos, wallabies, koalas, possums, opossums, wombats, and of course, the Tasmanian devil.
They have a few possums on Staten Island, Liz. I mean, so I think there's going to be public support for Buster. They're going to make sure he has a home.
Yeah. The I understand no wild animals in people's backyards. I get that. In fact, Monica and I are going to a chimp fundraising event over Thanksgiving, aren't we, Monica?
Yes, Chimp Sink. It's a chimp rescue place in Central Oregon.
Yeah.
And if we go early enough, we can meet the chimps.
Oh, that sounds really cute.
Yeah.
It's on a farm, a lot of acreage. They have cages. It's rescued chimps.
Oh. Yeah.
So if you're in Central Oregon and you want to support the chimps, it's the Friday night, the night after Thanksgiving is the Chimps Inc. Fundraiser. So we're in on that. Anyway, so thank you, Buster, for making my week. Kangaroo bounces away from Staten Island home.
Let's hope it's not a kangaroo court settling this case.
Okay, now I'm picturing that, just like a jury box full of kangaroos. Anyway, on that note, I think we are, I think we're wrapping it up, sisters. Anything anyone else needs to add? Who's got some cool stuff going on this week? Julie, the Tuesday show, what's in the, anything in the hopper for you and Leon for the Tuesday show?
Madam Secretary Liz, it is such a good show, and we break it down every week on Tuesday. So don't miss that podcast.
Okay, Madam Secretary Recap. It's a whole new season for the Satellite Sisters. Monica, you doing anything interesting this week?
Just work with my boss, my coworkers, at a place that is not a holocracy.
And Sheila, you got the day, like cranking up your day at 3 p.m. That sounds awesome.
I'm working, and then I'm getting ready for New York this week because I'm going to be leaving for New York for our book launch next week, Liz. So yep. I'm excited about that.
Okay. And I don't know if we've mentioned the book launch in New York. So that's Friday night, October 30th. A lot of the next generation is going to be there. So people that you've heard us talk about on the show a lot. Sheila, your daughter Ruthie will be there.
Yes, front and center.
Julie, your daughter-in-law Lauren will be there. So when you're on an Urban Nana gig, it's to help support Lauren and your son Will, right?
Yes. And as well, my granddaughter Alice will be there too.
That will be great. And then our two other nieces, both of whom have been on Satellite Sisters, Catherine Dolan Nortenson will be on the show, and Megan Dolan Saparita, who just had the baby that we posted in the Facebook group. So you'll meet the whole next generation of Satellite Sisters and, of course, us. So you're the best. Time to kick that off. All right. Let's everyone have a great week.
You too, Liz.
Get ready. We are the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your Satellite Sisters.